Vicky Beeching, who grew up in Kent, has walked into the room. She became a rock star in America's Bible Belt. Her evangelical Christian music career blew up when she moved overseas, and the music label EMI signed her up 12 years ago. She's since moved back to the UK, where she explores religion and technology through her PhD. She works as a media commentator on ethical and religious issues. You may even have heard her doing Pause for Thought with Chris Evans on The Breakfast Show. But for someone so prominent, so well-liked and successful in the Christian community, Vicky, it turns out, has fought a very personal and private battle with one particular issue for most of her life. Some time ago, she vowed to resolve this by the age of 35. Last month, she turned 35. So yesterday, in an article for the Independent newspaper, she announced to the world that she is gay. She's here now to tell us why this was such a gigantic and important step to take. Vicky Beeching, hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing well. I'm sitting here drinking my lovely cup of tea made by my wonderful Radio 2 host.
Really? If I were you, I'd tip it away. Vicky, tell me the conundrum. Tell me the main reason, in a sentence or two, why this was so difficult.
Yeah, people might be listening this afternoon thinking, what's the big deal? Surely it's 2014. Why is it a big deal to have to come out and say that you're gay? But there are pockets of society where it still is an issue. I would say sport is one, as we saw with Tom Daley's very brave decision lately. The military's probably one. And I think religion, the church, is still a place where talking about being gay is quite taboo. So for someone like me that comes from quite a conservative part of the church, it was quite a big leap to have to tell that to my friends, my family, my church.
So let's talk about the beginnings then. You grew up in a very Christian community, and were you a very willing believer? Is it a large part of your life, your faith?
It's a massive part of my faith. My faith is so important to me, I would never consider letting it go. And it's a very personal thing. It's a thing that brings me a lot of joy. God is very real to me. I really value the Bible. So faith is not something that I've ever considered throwing out the window because of my orientation. And I would never consider giving it up because it means so much to me.
But on the other hand, did you consider crushing your orientation to keep your faith or to keep faith with your
faith?
It was
definitely that way around. Whereas a lot of people I've spoken to very recently who are gay have said that they came from a Christian background and felt like they had to throw that away in order to live out their orientation. Whereas I suppose I went the other way. I held on to the faith and sort of put the orientation on mute.
So this is a person in the middle. You are a person in the middle. And when you grew up, what kind of sadness were you facing as a teenager?
It was quite frightening because I had been brought up within my church to think that being in a relationship with someone of the same sex would be considered evil. The word abomination is often used, quoting from a passage in the Bible that people would think relates to that.
And incidentally, just to interrupt, that's not even in the past. There are people listening now who believe that and will call me to tell me that. So
it's not,
that hasn't gone away.
It's very, very true. So I was raised to believe that, and I began to experience those feelings towards other girls at secondary school when I was about 13. And I was terrified because there was nothing I could do about it the way I saw it. I just had to keep it really secret. And unfortunately, I kept it a secret until I was 30. And I actually told no one except a couple of people in church settings when I was seeking a bit of help.
On one occasion, you were at a giant rally, a Christian youth camp, and you risked trying to tell some spiritual leaders. Where was it? What was the size of the event and what happened at it?
It was a summer youth camp. They're quite common within that part of the church. Probably 3,000 or 4,000 young people. All gathering together in the summer for a week to pray and sing and talk about their faith. And they had an evening meeting where they were asking people if they wanted to be set free from things they struggled with, people that were struggling with different issues. And they had somebody up on stage who was a few years older than me who said that she'd been set free from same-sex feelings, homosexuality as they called it there. And so I went forwards and asked people to pray for me. And they did, quite dramatically, quite passionately, kind of putting their hands on me and commanding the devil to get out and let me go. And it was just quite, I think they had good intentions, but it was very disturbing because it made me feel like my sexual orientation was actually something that wasn't of me. It was actually maybe something of the devil that I had to sort of try and get rid of. And it was just psychologically very fragmenting.
Are you telling me that you were subject to a public exorcism?
Well, it would be called going through an exorcism, I suppose, if you're trying to cast demons out of anybody for any sort of reason. But it was something that was quite common in that context.
And what did it leave you feeling like?
It left me feeling very confused, I think, because they were saying that there were these demons inside me that were causing these feelings and that they were praying over me to tell them to leave. So then whenever I went through the rest of my teens and I experienced these feelings, part of me would think, oh gosh, there's this thing inside me, this force at work inside me that's not within my control, almost like an evil being that's living inside me. And that's quite scary as a child, as a young person, to come to terms with.
And does it feel right now today that those feelings have completely gone? Does it feel that because of the decision we'll talk about that you've taken, do you feel free? Do you still feel worried?
I think it takes a long time to rewrite the tapes that play in your head. If you're familiar with experiments in psychology, you know about Pavlov's dogs, these dogs that are taught to salivate at the ringing of a bell. It's kind of a classic psychology experiment example. And I think that's true for us as humans. If you're taught all your life something is wrong, even when you do have those feelings, there's still nagging guilt in the back of your head. For me, it's almost gone, but it really has taken all of my courage and strength to move beyond those feelings of guilt and shame and come to a place of acceptance and actually feeling proud about who I am.
Did you feel anxious with the crowd in front of you?
I did. There were many times when I would almost feel myself sort of stepping back outside of reality. I'd be standing there playing guitar in front of a crowd of about, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 people.
Christian people.
Song. Yeah, Christian song, Christian mega churches or conferences, but kind of stepping back mentally from it and going, this is amazing. They love my music. I feel so accepted and welcomed. But what if they knew? What if they knew this secret about me that I've known I was gay since the age of 13. How would they respond then? Would they still sing my songs? Would I be welcome? And it felt like my whole life and career hinged on making sure nobody ever knew that this was the way I felt on the inside.
Did it come out and hit you in a physical way? I've read that you picked up some extraordinary illness. I'd never heard of it before.
Well, autoimmune conditions are very nebulous. Lots of people actually suffer with a lot of illnesses that are quite hard to pin down. Mine was a form of soft tissue degeneration where some of your skin becomes, it turns to scar tissue. So your soft tissue becomes scar tissue and it can affect any part of your body. It can affect your organs kind of inside you as well. Thankfully, I only have a version that exists in a localised form. But it was quite frightening to see that begin to take place, to see a doctor in America and have them say I needed to take chemo tablets and IVs to stop this in its tracks. And they said to me that there's no physical causes for that particular illness, that they think it's often rooted in stress and trauma.
Where is it?
On my forehead. So
I can't see it.
It's because I wear my hair a certain way.
Would you show me?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of makeup on it too, but there's an indentation that runs from the top of my forehead down to my eyebrow.
Right.
And thankfully we caught it quite early.
And Vicky is showing me a scar, really.
Yeah, very, it's kind of like a...
very concealed.
Indentation, basically.
But there's a whiter line. And do you blame that on the stress in your life?
I do. I mean,
doctors blame that?
Yeah, I mean, whether or not it's related to sexuality or not. And I feel like that has been so stressful for me. That has been my area of stress. I mean, there's no way anybody would ever say you can pin it on that cause. But you have to look at a likelihood of causation, don't you? There's no physical causes known for it. And this has been incredibly stressful for me. So I think my body was kind of crying out for help.
So here you are at the age of 35 telling everyone, including those fans, including your parents. Let's deal with them first. How have they reacted? They've obviously brought you up in a Christian home. And what do they think?
They've been incredibly generous and gracious. In terms of their beliefs, they still hold a traditional view on what the Bible teaches.
Which homosexuality is wrong to them.
They would just say, I think, probably that it's not God's ideal situation. But in terms of loving me, they've extended an unconditional love that's really gone beyond agreement or disagreement. And I think that models to me, hopefully, what I want to have happen with many people in my life, that they will think I'm doing the wrong thing because they hold traditional Christian beliefs, but we can still love each other.
Right. And what about fans on Twitter or foes, because Twitter contains both, does it not?
It does, and fans that are now foes.
Has that happened?
It has. There's been a boycott of my music that started actually when I first started speaking out about equal marriage last year, actually in this very seat. I was here with Claire Balding talking on the Good Morning Sunday programme, and
never
it was the first time I'd talked about my views on equal marriage, and I aired those last November. And ever since just speaking out in favour of that, people have boycotted the songs and said they don't want to sing them. So,
and if that was a year ago, now you've gone the full Monty, if I can put it that way.
It feels like the full Monty. I was saying this actually on the way up here. Like, I'm such a private person. I'm, you know, typically British, quite awkward about anything to do with sexuality at all. And it really does feel like sort of running around naked, to be honest, in a high street, to suddenly be in a newspaper talking about all these very personal things. But I hope it's worth it, because I think if other teenagers don't have to go through what I went through, awkwardness for me is completely worth it.
It's very interesting, because I get the impression, having never met you before, that you've done this partly because you're a public person. Perhaps if you didn't have a rock career, you would have lived your life for the rest of it with this pressure you've been talking about.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think when you have a public profile, there is there can be a sense of responsibility, I think, to speak out about things.
How are you now?
Much better. I feel like a weight's lifted. A little bit nervous about the future, whether I'll ever get to sing my songs again in public. But I think hopeful for change in the Church of England.
Is there a risk when you leave here that you will be the woman reported later in the papers seen skipping naked? Is there a risk?
There is no risk of that whatsoever.
Should we warn the security?
Do not warn the security.
We've been listening to a life story in a few minutes of Vicky Beeching, and I think we can understand that it's a big part of your life and you didn't want to be in this position telling us all about it, but you have. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.